Hare Krishna, welcome everyone. So we'll briefly review what we discussed last class. So we did from which verse? 17, right?
16 to 19.
Yeah. So these are four kinds of people who begin to surrender to Krishna, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can we just share some points we discussed?
There are four kinds of people. Then there are examples also we discussed.
Yeah.
One was the distressed, which was Gajendra elephant. Second is the Jignyasu, that's the inquisitive. And for that it was
Shaunaka Rishi.
And the third one is Aptarthi, desiring wealth. I think that's almost everyone. And the fourth one is Jnani, who is seeking knowledge. That is like the four Brahma Kumaras and Sukadeva Goswami. And of all that, the Lord says that the one who is the Jnani, he is the most dearest. Because with that is pure transaction, whereas this is still, there is some element of bargaining.
Mishra Bhakti. Yeah. Mixed devotion. Jnana Mishra Bhakti, Karma Mishra Bhakti. Okay. So how does this mixed devotees become pure devotees?
When they come in contact with a pure devotee.
When they come in contact with pure devotees, they also, like Dhruva Maharaj, initially he had desire of wealth, but they came in contact with Narada Muni, then finally became pure devotee. Like, very good point. Then next verse 17. Krishna declares who is best among all of them, which he already clarified, right? And he is very dear. The person who is wise, so no, seeking only knowledge, is, and who does pure devotional service, is very dear to him, and Krishna also is very dear to him. I am very dear to him and he is dear, very dear to me. Yeah. So, basically we talked about this transcendental, love is reciprocal, right? So if somebody has like two kids, right, we can see sometimes, you know, based on the obedience and how much kids follow what we say, somehow the affection is different. Even though parents are, they love all the kids equally, but the reciprocation is different based on the nature of the kid, how they react to us. Like that Krishna also, if somebody is obedient and want to practice and you want to always win Krishna's favor, then he is more favorably disposed. But somebody wants to always disobey, always rebel, then obviously Krishna is not going to be so happy with him. Hare Krishna. Okay, so even Sindhu, they all can share, right, among friends. We have this experience, Sindhu, like among friends, you have many friends, but some friend will be like, they behave well with you, right? They become very close to you, right? But some person always, they talk negative about you or say something bad, then how do you treat them? So you will be same equally loving to that person also as the first one?
Kind
of. Oh really? Wow. Yeah, but then somehow the heart will not be there, in that exchange. Okay, so then text number 18.
28.
Krishna is declaring all these souls to be?
His own.
No.
Mahatma.
Mahatma, magnanimous. Mahatma or what is that word?
Magnanimous.
So, Udara, that's the word used in Sanskrit. Not Mahatma, is not there in this verse. Udara, magnanimous, great souls. But then again, person who is engaged in transcendental devotional service, he says he is like my own self, my own child, kind of like that. But he will sure to attain him because he is the perfect and highest and perfect goal. Because he will assure, Krishna will assure that he will come back. Then, you want to share Bhagavad Gita? You want to share Bhagavad Gita? Seventh chapter, text number 19, we are summarizing. So then Krishna says, then how, you know, who can actually know him in truth, right? Like, does anybody and everybody equally understand Krishna? So what does say in text number 19, what does Krishna say? Is it normal for everybody to surrender to Krishna?
After many births, many lives.
You know, somebody surrenders to Krishna as a cause of all causes. Such a great soul, Krishna says, is very rare. So, today only is... Haripol, you're back?
Huh?
So quick?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It's so long already? Oh, I didn't know. Okay. Haripol, welcome back. What? Hot. Oh, sorry, sir. Hare Krishna. We just felt and feels like yesterday you went and today you came back.
Oh, I think so only, that's what you said.
Yeah, oh, because 1 month I missed, right, for the classes, so
yeah.
That's why I think, okay. Such a great soul is very rare. Today only I was listening to one Srila Prabhupada's lecture, he was telling, like, you know, somebody, everybody inquires, you know, what is the cause of this? Like, you know, who created this building, who created this phone, microphone, who created this tube light, all this thing, everybody inquires. And generally people inquire, you know, who created this universe, who created this whole thing. People inquire. That is inquiry into the absolute truth, you know, that leads them to God, Krishna. Then Prabhupada said, actually, you know, either you can accept it from acharyas and shastras, who is that person who created everything as Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, and begin to render devotional service, or you can keep doing research, and finally end up with that. He says very clearly, he said, finally you'll end up with that because that's the truth. He told, you know, it's not that you'll end up with something else, because that's the truth, that Krishna created everything, you'll end up with that only. But do you want to either take step by step, you know, or you want to take a elevator? That's the difference. So that's what he's saying. These people, after many lives, they finally understand Krishna is the source of everything and surrender to him. But they take many lifetimes. But if you are fortunate, then Prabhupada says, you know, they are unfortunate. But if you are fortunate, if we somehow from Shastras we hear that Krishna is the cause of everything, cause of all causes, he is the one who created everything, then if we begin to surrender, then it's, you know, we are very fortunate. That's why Krishna says such a great soul is very rare. So now this today's section will cover from 20 to 25. These are talking about people who surrender to other than Krishna. Like, you know, people who surrender to demigods, there are two categories. People who surrender to demigods and impersonalists. So some people surrender to demigods, some people surrender to impersonalists. So all these people, Krishna will see from Krishna's point of view, how does he view them? You know, does he consider them very intelligent people? Does he consider them, you know, less intelligent? Does he consider them, you know, very advanced, or what is it? We'll hear from Krishna's opinion. So generally, what do we have a common understanding of what is demigods? Who are demigods?
Administrators.
Oh, we heard like in third chapter or somewhere, right? Yeah, administrators of material universes. Like, they're in charge of certain departments. Basically, they conduct the administration on behalf of Krishna. Right? Some examples.
Saraswati, Lakshmi.
Saraswati, Lakshmi is not like, you know, yeah, she's goddess of fortune. She is like Oyogamaya.
Indra.
Varuna, Surya. You know, even Shiva and Ganesha, Kartikeya, Brahma. These are all actually, what are they? They are they eternal citizens?
No.
They're all eternal because they're all souls, but are they eternal in the sense that, you know, after the universe gets annihilated, they will also get annihilated? Okay. So they are all posts actually. They are positions. Like, you know, we have temple president, manager, director, right? So after few years, director changes. But the role, you know, they fulfill the duties of that particular role, whoever takes that position. No, but it doesn't mean that these are all posts. So anybody can become qualified to become a Brahma. It's like that. Anybody can become a Ganesha.
Told in 6th chapter, like in yoga process.
Yeah.
if someone is a, in a very high stage and they leave the process, then they will go to higher planets and angels.
Yeah.
I feel like they are the souls who practiced in the higher platform and they are now to enjoy.
Yeah,
maybe. It's my understanding.
Yeah. Souls who stop after a short period of time and who still have material desires, they go to heavenly planets. But also, you know, it's not like that's the only way they can enter. They can come, when they come from spiritual world also, they can enter there only directly instead of coming here. It's like, okay, so then we'll cover this. You know, what does Krishna talk about demigods? So this concept also comes in the 9th chapter also. So same, you know, 9th chapter, 7th chapter are pretty similar. So we'll cover this. Text number 20. Kamaistaishte kritajnana prapadyante anya devata tam tam niyamam asaya prakritya niyata svaya. Those whose intelligence has been stolen by material desires surrender unto demigods and follow the particular rules and regulations of worship according to their own natures. So Krishna is saying, people whose intelligence has been stolen by material desires. Surrender unto demigods. And follow the particular rules and regulations of worship. So every demigod has a particular rules and regulations of worship according to, they declared in the Vedas. According to their own natures. Because according to their, how they are situated with respect to modes of material nature, they worship, choose a particular demigod. And then they worship them. So, you know, why Krishna is declaring the intelligence is stolen by material desires? People who worship demigods, so he's condemning them, right? He's not really appreciative, right? He's not encouraging. He's not really, you know, saying they are great. No, he's saying their intelligence is, they are less intelligent, he's saying. Alpa Medasha. That's the verse, it comes in 9.23 also. Same thing, he says Alpa Medasha. He says they are less intelligent. So why there is calling that, you know, the intelligence is stolen by material desires? So who generally worships demigods?
The people who have desires and they need quick response.
So demigods give quick results for the desires. So even Krishna can be approached by material desires because he is the cause of all causes and he is the controller of everything. Krishna also can fulfill those desires. But still people approach demigods because they give quickly. But why Krishna doesn't give quickly? What does he do?
He wants to purify.
So he first purifies of the desire and then he gives the desire. So like for example, Dhruva Maharaj, by the time he gave that kingdom, he's already said, you know, I don't even want kingdom. So then, now the devotee doesn't utilize it for sense gratification and become go far away from him more. So all Krishna's, what is Krishna's interest in us? To bring us closer to him. So he just sees whatever is needed for doing that. You know, if somebody gets a lot of material wealth, if they become puffed up and because of prestige and go far away, then he doesn't give. But somebody becomes poor, but you know, out of this destitute condition, if he becomes more closer to Krishna, then that's what he does. I think that's what is going to be theme of this class. It's going to be repeated. You know, how Krishna takes away everything. So we'll see how it comes to that. So, okay, let's read some part of the purport, like, you know, last paragraph. Less intelligent people
who have lost their spiritual sense take shelter of demigods for immediate fulfillment of material desires. Generally, such people do not go to the Supreme Personality of Godhead because they are in the lower modes of nature, ignorance and passion, and therefore worship various demigods.
We can pause it. Yeah, another, some other reasons also, like, you know, Prabhupada is saying, another reason is why people go to demigods, because they are in lower modes, you know, passion and ignorance. Because we know that to worship Vishnu, at least minimally we should be in mode of goodness. But somehow we are fortunate, even though we are not in mode of goodness, because, you know, Prabhupada is preaching so vigorously, because of that we got attracted. But otherwise, generally, you know, people who are in lower modes, they don't choose to worship Vishnu or Krishna. And the other reason is, people sometimes do, especially, you know, if we talk about ourselves, why have we been doing worshipping demigods in family or, you know, mothers like that? Why we do?
First of all, lack of knowledge.
Lack of knowledge, yeah. Like, we don't know who is the supreme. Okay, that's one thing. The other thing, other reason? Generally?
Blindly
yeah, we covered that. Sentiment, desires, material benefits.
Blindly
following or sentiment? No, because, you know, they say, oh, I've been doing this for so many years. If I stop it now, some major havoc will come. No, earthquake will come. Something. No, they have the so much fear actually. Right? No, Navya Mataji also shares so many times, you know, when she is saying, you know, we'll take initiation, all this is a mother-in-law, right?
Mother.
She used to say, you know, oh, we all have been Shiva worshippers, you know, why you are changing the path, you're doing something else, you know, don't do it, you know. Then she was, for some time, she was influenced by that. She didn't know what to choose and things like that, you know, that feeling is there because of sentiment. And they are afraid of that, you know, demigods are powerful also, right? They are afraid that they will curse them. You know, like, you know, Goddess Lakshmi or rather Saraswati, if you don't do, then, you know, we'll lose all our knowledge. Don't worry. Ganesha, if you don't do, you will put obstacles. So we are afraid that they will take vengeance. Because of mainly it's because of ignorance and lack of knowledge. Now, all these reasons, we worship demigods. So, but then, what is the right way to, what is wrong way to worship demigods? What is right way to worship demigods?
Wrong way is asking for material desires. And the right way is asking them to give the strength to go to Krishna, to know the Supreme.
So, the wrong way is to actually ask them material desires and also mainly to consider them to be as equal to Lord, actually thinking them to be God themselves and putting them equal to Krishna and saying, you know, oh, if I go to Krishna also I'll get the same, go to Ganesha also get the same, so it doesn't matter to me, oh Ganesha please give me. So basically this is called actually it's Shastra say such a person is actually very, it's called atheist, actually it's called Pashandi, because they're considering a normal person to be equal to God himself. So it's as equal to saying pulling God down. You see the point? Like somebody, you lift somebody up equal to Krishna, you're as if like pulling Krishna down to that person's level. So it's as good as saying, God is as good as this person, or Krishna. So it's very offensive to the Lord. One of the offenses we have, right? Who knows that offense? To consider the names of demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Vishnu,
Lord
Shiva and Lord Brahma. Equal or independent of Lord Vishnu. So consider them equal is also offense. And what is the, again, independent is also an offense. To consider them to be, you know, they are standing on their own. They have their power, mystic powers, you know, siddhis they can give on their own. To consider them to be independent of the Supreme Lord also is an offense. So what is the proper way of worship, Mataji is telling, is to pray for them, to give them Krishna Bhakti. Or that's, you know, like Shiva and all, you know, he's the greatest Vaishnava. He can do it. Or also other option is actually to understand their position with respect to the Supreme Lord and honor them with respect to that position. Knowing that they are administrators of Vishnu, they are administrators of Krishna, they are agents, you know, give them that respect. You know, okay Ganesha, you are in charge of obstacles. It's not like we again say Ganesha also equal to me and you. We cannot do that also. Right? They are also empowered administrators of, so they have certain position. So honor them that and see them in connection with the Supreme Lord. Now how they are facilitating the material creation, how they are doing service to Krishna. Basically we have to see everybody in a proper, according to their qualification. We cannot artificially lift somebody up, we cannot artificially put somebody down. Then it's offensive. So same thing applies to actually among devotees also, you know. Like we are supposed to, we will discuss this in Nectar of Instruction, Nectar of Devotion. There are three levels of devotees, right? Kanishta, Madhyama and Uttama. In general, you know, this is a classification. So Kanishta is a devotee who is just coming to temple and he's just hearing about Krishna Katha. He sees Krishna in the deity, but he doesn't see Krishna in the devotees. In the sense, he is committing offences to his devotees. So, he neglects the devotees. He doesn't mind if he hurts devotees. But he just, oh, Krishna, Krishna, he says. So, he doesn't. And, you know, he doesn't know how to preach to people and things like that. He just, you know, chances, focused on his chanting, all those things. It's a Kanishta level. And the Madhyama person is a little bit more elevated. He knows certain amount of Shastra. He is convinced a little bit. As long as, but he cannot convince, many people. If somebody defeats with a higher argument, he may not be able to convince them. But at the same time, he can preach to a certain extent. And also, he sees, there are four kinds of people. He deals with them appropriately. He makes friendship with innocent. Rather, he gives Krishna consciousness to innocent. He makes friendship to devotees. And he serves the senior devotees. And he serves the Lord. So these are, four. And he ignores the envious people. So he knows, who is envious. Discrimination is, who is envious, who is innocent, who is advanced, who is my friend. He knows all these things. So somebody may think, is this offensive to judge a person? No, we are not supposed to judge, right? No, feels like judging me. So who am I to judge? What is my adhikar to judge? We may feel. But actually, this is a healthy discrimination. Appropriately, one should have. We need to know according to the symptoms from the Shastra who is advanced person. So we know how to respect him according to his position. Without knowing that advanced person, we can say, make him sit and give class to him. Or advanced person, we should hear from him. Right? We should not give lecture or advice. Or actually it is even said, in front of an advanced person, we should not give consultation to another person. Let's say, if like a few people, Harivilas Prabhu and somebody else is sitting and somebody is asking some question, Harivilas Prabhu is there, we cannot jump and start giving answer. It's offensive actually. There are so many rules of conduct, Basically etiquette and respect according to their devotion. Respect according to their devotion. According to how they are disposed with respect to the Supreme Lord. Because they are serving the Supreme Lord so wonderfully, we have to give them that much respect. That's the point. So this is the point about healthy discrimination everybody should have. It's not offensive. It's a judgment one has to do in order to respect everyone according to their positions. So that's the practical application we can do.
How do I know someone is envious? Like, what do you mean envious? I understood friend or innocent person. But
yeah, envious in general, in this concept we are talking about people who are outright envious. Like for example, outsiders. As soon as we go Harinam, right? People, they start throwing stones. We know outright, we don't want to go and tell them, come to temple, all those things. We can just ignore them. Of course, within devotees also, we have envy and, we are trying to control that envy, not act on that envy. And sometimes we can see also, based on the behavior, we can see certain person is envious towards us. Then in that case, we don't try to develop loving relationship with them because they cannot take it. So we just keep distance because we cannot also deal with that person. So in that case, we just keep distance. We may not face it now, but after some time, we'll see it when we are. Yeah, usually why we have envy?
That is the reason why we are here.
Yeah, in general, within devotees, let's say. Why we can be envious of certain person?
They are exhibiting better qualities than you.
Okay, so
maybe previous
karma. Karma? No, not karma.
Expectations.
You are so habituated by
not. Expectations are not met. And for our expectations are not met with respect to that person?
Mm-hmm.
Or we expect something from that person and they don't reciprocate in certain ways. So we feel, that's not envy, that's hurt, right? Or
sometimes that will become envy.
If it's hurt, and first it will be hurt, and after that if we start talking about that person negatively to, let's say, husband or somebody else, then it becomes offensive and basically that takes you away from that person.
Mataji, are you not habituated to do so? That's why even though you are just coming to temple, it's not changed, nothing has changed.
Yeah.
Because you have been doing that while you are on the other side of the world, and now just because you came to the temple,
exactly. Correct.
It's not like...
That's true, yeah. But at least for few years, I feel, at least for me, in my case, I was seeing that initial few years, I didn't see any manifestation of envy, outright envy in me. At least, maybe it's there, I didn't detect maybe. At least, at least I felt, I didn't feel a strong, strong, but I mentioned in one class, right? But at certain point, it felt like, it was just kicking on my face, at one certain particular devotee, whatever that person does, I couldn't tolerate, the success I couldn't tolerate. There's a very, very nice lecture Radhanath Maharaj gave. It's for celebrating another success. it's very important in a good, for a good community, that we should celebrate others' success. That means we are not envious. To celebrate, like for example, we celebrate success of our child, right? But we can, maybe we will not be able to celebrate success of others' child, because we have envy. Because we cannot tolerate others' success, you know. So I encountered that situation at that time where it was blatant and it was very, you know, it was so horrible. You know, it's difficult to, it's impossible to, you know, it's very difficult to practice also. It's very difficult, you know. So we can face it in ourselves, and slowly, you know, when we start detecting that, we can see how others are manifesting also. In that case, you know. So the envy, the root cause of envy is material desires. So when we see somebody's and when we see somebody glorious in devotional service, because we have material desires, we see them with respect to material perspective. We see them, oh, they have position, oh, they are teaching so many people, you know, prestige point of view. Oh, you know, they have so much respect from so many people. Because we want respect, material things, so we see other person getting, then we feel we are envious. Then we want to do something to pull them down, things like that. Okay, so anyway, that's a different topic. So, so we'll read the last three lines.
Therefore, a pure devotee never goes to demigods for satisfaction of his material needs. He depends on the Supreme Lord, and the pure devotee is satisfied with whatever he gives.
Yeah, so here in between, Prabhupada is saying that, you know, even though these small desires demigods may fulfill, Krishna also fulfills them. And pure devotee knows that Krishna is master of all. So he doesn't want to do it avidhi purvakam. Krishna says in 9.23, no? Krishna says, this says that if you go to demigods for some things, it's like bribing them. Like, you know, if you want to achieve something government thing, right? You keep bribing the ministers. Krishna says that if you go to demigods for certain desires, it's like you're bribing them. He says it's improper way. But rather, pure devotee always goes to Krishna and depends on Krishna for all, even his material needs. So, a very nice example is given in Shastras of a Chataka bird. How, have you heard this analogy? It's called Thunderbird also, I think, in English, Chataka. It's called C-A-T-A-K-A, Chataka bird. So, this bird, it stays in the near the cloud. You know this analogy?
Yeah, it waits for the water to, like the cloud, the rain, so that he would not drink water.
So, he wants water. So he doesn't take water from any of the sources in the material world, in, you know, down, like, you know, ponds and lakes and everything. It just stays near the cloud and just waits for the water to come from the cloud, then only drinks the water. So Prabhupada says in one conversation, he says that even the, sometimes the cloud will give first thunder and then slowly it gives water. The, even then Chataka just waits for that water from the rain, So the analogy is, that's how pure devotees are. Pure devotees, they, even though Krishna sometimes seemingly is harsh to the devotees, he takes away everything, or, you know, they get into some trouble, but still they expect mercy only from Krishna. They don't go to demigods, or they don't look for other ways to fulfill their needs. They just depend on that rainwater or rain of mercy from Krishna. No, that's very nice, right? So that's basically, it's a, we are exclusive. You know, many people sometimes they criticize, you know, why only Krishna? Why always Krishna, Krishna, Krishna? You know, Mataji was sharing today, why only Krishna? You know, it's too much Krishna. It's like, you know, we are not, it's not sentiment, it's, you know, it's not fanatism. It's, once we know the philosophy, once we know how wonderful Krishna is, we don't even want to think about anything else, you know. And if we feel like, why don't we invest all, everything in serving the root, instead of serving all the, you know, branches and leaves. So that's how people will be convinced, and we can't, and within that also Prabhupada says, we want Shyamsundar Krishna. There are many types of Krishna, Vasudeva Krishna, there is Dwaraka Krishna, there is Mathura Krishna. But still, you know, at least devotees in Gaudiya Sampradaya, they want Shyamsundar Krishna. No, we are very, very particular, specific. Okay, so...
Why Mataji?
Why? Mm. Because that's the nature of love. Oh. You know, it's like... of course, you know, at this stage, we don't have the awakening of love. But somehow we are attracted to certain aspect of certain form of the Lord. Some people naturally are attracted to Lord Ram, right? They, we cannot, they cannot change at any point. And you, especially you were... I think
my
you
mom.
Like...
My mom.
Yeah.
She has a giant picture of Ram there. She'll not look at anything else, anybody else. She'll chant all the other things, but she'll just...
Yeah. So it's like it's spontaneous, but we don't have the spontaneity. But somehow we'll gradually we'll see that we are attracted to certain form. Like, you know, we have so many deities and so many temples. But we'll see certain, you know, Shyam Sundar in Vrindavan, we like it. Or, you know, Shyam Sundar in somebody, some other place, we like it. Or Madhava, we like in Mayapur. We get attracted to certain form of the Lord, you know. Or many people like Radha Raman in Vrindavan. It's like, you know, it's like that attraction awakens slowly. And proper way of worship, there are certain examples also. Even I read, like, you know, Bharat Maharaja. I don't know which Bharat Maharaja, whether this is the Bharat Maharaja who fell down as a deer or somebody else, or the Bharat Maharaja of Ram's brother, I don't know. He worshipped demigods as Vishnu's agents. So that's one example. And other thing is, even gopis, Krishna's gopis, right? They worshipped, do you know whom they worshipped?
Goddess.
Durga, the Katyayani. They worship Katyayani, who is the expansion of Durga basically. For what?
For getting a good husband like Krishna.
For getting Krishna as their husband.
As their.
So they worship Katyayani, expansion of Supreme Lord, you know, the goddess Durga, to worship. Actually, they ask Krishna, how can we obtain Krishna, you as your as our husband? Krishna said, you know, you worship Katyayani. Because Krishna likes his devotee to be glorified. Katyayani is also his devotee. So he said, only you worship her. Through her, you will get a chance to become my wives. You know, so like that. You know, that's a proper way of worship, to attain devotional service to Krishna. Like that. Okay, so, one point I remember Radhakrishna Prabhu shared in the class, like about this point, about pure devotee depends on Supreme Lord. He was telling, I repeated in earlier class also, he was telling, you know, people are so much worried about their maintenance. Like, you know, they are trying to do service, but still they are worried about, oh, what happens after retirement, what happens after this, whatever. He said very clearly, he told, you know, if you do small amount of sincere service, Krishna is not going to forget that. No, he is going to take care of you. Why you are worried so much? Just serve him. And he was telling this as an example for, you know, how many times all you guys sponsor feast, he was asking. We are like, you know, how many times, we are just counting. He said, you know, why don't you sponsor for every festival? Every festival, he was telling, you know, when I was working, he was of course bachelor, he was not married. When I was working, every festival I used to sponsor feast. Why not? Why can't we give more and more to Krishna? He is going to reciprocate with us, right? No, why is there a hesitation? He was telling like that, you know, very, actually when he speaks, it's so convincing, you know, because he has that purity and he has a realization. We feel immediately it occurs to us, like, yeah, that makes sense, you know, why we are not doing. So he says, you know, any amount of sincere service, Krishna is not going to forget. So don't worry too much about retirement, saving after retirement. Okay, so we'll continue with the next verse.
Mataji, what are the four type of people we need to discriminate?
So innocent. So we basically try to give Krishna consciousness to innocent. And next is envious. We avoid envious. Then we serve the Lord. So the Lord is the third category. And fourth one is make friendship with devotees. This is a nectar of instruction.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, within devotees, then again we act according to the adhikar, right? Who is more advanced, who is equal to us. So we make Kanishta, so people who are newly coming to Krishna consciousness, we try to give them Krishna. We give prasadam, or, you know, somehow connect them to Krishna. If there is a class going on, we like it, we say, you know, why don't you join the class, like that. So that's how do we deal with, you know, new people. And people of equal to our level, or people who are peers, we make friendship, we discuss Krishna together, we serve together, we do programs together, or, you know, we share prasadam together, like that. And people who are advanced to us, we hear from them. We share our realizations to them. We share our, you know, issues with them, so they can help with their realization. You know, share, they can help resolve these issues and things like that. So accordingly, we serve based on the adhikar of the person. Okay, so we'll go to the next verse. Text number 21. Krishna now says, who gives the faith for a person to worship the demigods? That's what Krishna is going to declare. Who do you think gives a faith?
You.
Krishna only gives a faith. So text number 21. Yo yam yam tanum bhakta shraddhaya architum icchati tasya tasya chalam shraddham tameva viradami aham. I am in everyone's heart as a super soul. As soon as one desires to worship some demigod, I make his faith steady so that he can devote himself to that particular deity. So wonderful, right? Krishna is saying, I mean, everyone's heart is super soul. As soon as one desires to worship some demigod, I make his faith steady so that he can devote himself to that particular deity. So why is somebody asking why? Why would you ask why?
Why he has to encourage
the improper thing? Like why not lead to him, but he is encouraging? So called, you know, going an indirect path, right? Why do you think? What is the answer?
The purity level.
Yeah, because they may not be ready to worship Vishnu directly, so better they worship somebody. That's a very good answer. Some more points?
The independence we are given.
Yes.
How we want to use it.
Yes, so independence is given. So Krishna doesn't force the free will, force the devotee. So the devotee is, or that person is desiring, sincerely, Prabhupada said in the purport, is sincerely desiring to worship a demigod. Of course, you know, not everybody can get that faith also. Not everybody can sincerely worship Shiva also, right? In order to worship, become a sincere devotee of Shiva also, it's a great, you need to have some piety. So if somebody desires to worship a demigod sincerely, Krishna gives the faith and also association, so he can make progress in that devotion. Because he doesn't want to interfere with the free will. But if still is sincere, then somehow, you know, he'll be guided to, you know, the pure devotional path of worshipping Vishnu. That's what Prabhupada says in the purport also.
Whatever we desire, Krishna facilitates that, right?
That's the whole thing. Sometimes we feel, I wish he doesn't do it. Right? Because we have improper desires.
Yeah.
So the thing is, as super soul, he facilitates it. But as Krishna, he doesn't. You see the point?
Yeah.
Super soul is neutral to everyone, right? So he equally receives, you know, whatever somebody, based on what they desire, what they deserve, he facilitates. But as Krishna, once we start approaching Krishna and doing devotional service to Krishna, Krishna gives only when it's beneficial for devotional service. So Bhagavan, as Bhagavan, he is partial, or rather he is not being neutral. But as super soul, is neutral. So that's why he says, I am in everyone's heart as super soul, he says. Okay, we'll read first few lines. God has given independence to everyone.
God has given independence to everyone. Therefore, if a person desires to have material enjoyment and wants very sincerely to have such facilities from the material demigods, the Supreme Lord, as super soul in everyone's heart, understands and gives facilities to such persons. As the Supreme Father of all living entities, he does not interfere with their independence, but gives all facilities so that they can fulfill their material desires.
We can pause there. So, you know, this, after hearing this, we should actually become, grow more in love with Krishna, actually, you know, right? Instead of saying, oh, I got opportunity now to worship some demigod, we should feel, see, Krishna is so loving, no, let me just, you know, serve him and just exchange the love with him. So next, further few lines, Prabhupada talks about this point. People may ask, you know, why the God gives this thing. So we talked about that point, so we'll skip this. So we'll go to the next paragraph, first few lines.
Both the living entity and the demigods are subordinate to the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the living entity cannot worship the demigod by his own desire, nor can the demigod bestow any benediction without the Supreme Will. As it is said, not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
We can pause there, Mataji. So basically, in both ways, Krishna is involved. To give the faith or direction for the living entity to worship demigod, Krishna has to be there. And for the demigod to give the benefits and powers and everything, Krishna has to be there. So they, none of them are independent. So it's all happening because of Krishna's supreme will. Not a blade of grass moves without Krishna's will. So then further down, we'll just read the particular mode of devotional attitude of living entity.
The particular mode of the devotional attitude of the living entity toward a particular type of demigod is also arranged by the Supreme Lord. The demigods cannot infuse the living entities with such an affinity. But because he is the Supreme Lord, or the super soul who is present in the hearts of all living entities, Krishna gives impetus to man to worship certain demigods. The demigods are actually different parts of the universal body of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, they have no independence. In Vedic literature, it is stated, the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Supersoul is also present within the heart of the demigod. Therefore, he arranges through the demigod to fulfill the desire of the living entity. But both the demigod and the living entity are dependent on the Supreme Will. They are not independent.
Mm. It's very clear, right? Mm. So the main point is the demigods cannot infuse the living entities with such an affinity. So they cannot say, Shiva, keep influencing, okay, these group of people, I'm going to make them my devotees. He cannot force them to become his devotees. No, it's not politics or, you know, he cannot. It's all because Krishna has to give that, you know, faith for that particular person to get attracted to a particular demigod. It's all, you know, it's all done by Krishna. So it's all clear? So actually, I was only reflecting before coming to Krishna consciousness. And after, like, you know, just before, few months before, I was remembering, somehow I don't know why I ended up like that. Somehow I was in the circles of some bhajan circles. Different types of bhajans, you know, all different bhajans they used to sing. Sai bhajan, Ganesha bhajan, all those things. I remember I attended these for 6 months, I think, like that, regularly, very sincerely. All different things. I don't know what phase of life that was. And then after that I came to Krishna consciousness. Then after that, you know, I was thinking, you know. Sometimes we need certain amount of piety to come to Krishna, I was thinking like that, you know.
Nothing
yeah,
like
luckily
that,
I didn't get...
Huh? Nothing like that, Mataji, I am here, I said.
No, luckily I didn't get, you know, attached to... I didn't get attached to certain process or something which is... Because what the problem is, somehow if we start following certain thing, after some time it's... We feel like, you know, because we have been doing, we want to do it. Even if we find something better, we don't want to open and find out. Even if we want to, if we hear, we don't want to take it up. You know, somehow it should, magic should happen that we have to come to Krishna. It's mercy actually. That we get the right thing. So, you know, it's not by chance. Amazing. Because Krishna can give us faith to worship some demigod, right? And we take long time to come. Somehow he gave us.
It's your desire is what?
Yeah, yes. So we are responsible for our desires. Yeah. So we'll go to the next verse, text number 22. Sataya Shataya Yukta Stasya Radhanam Ihate लभते सा तथा कामान मायेवा विहितान हितान. Endowed with such a faith, he endeavors to worship a particular demigod and obtains his desires. But in actuality, these benefits are bestowed by me alone. So again, clearly Krishna is saying, he's worshipping that demigod, but actually those benefits are given by me. No, but it's like through his agent he's giving. Because see, we don't want to approach him directly. He's also saying, I will also not give you directly. You will get it from him. Right? So we'll read a few lines in the purport.
The demigods cannot award benedictions to their devotees without the permission of the Supreme Lord. The living entity may forget that everything is the property of the Supreme Lord, but the demigods do not forget. So the worship of demigods and achievement of desired results are due not to the demigods but to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By arrangement, the less intelligent living entity does not know this, and therefore he foolishly goes to the demigods for some benefit. But the pure devotee, when in need of something, prays only to the Supreme Lord.
Yeah, we can pause him. So it's very clear, right? So, you know, demigods also award benediction because they are empowered by the Supreme Lord, and Supreme Lord gives them the permission to do it. No, that's why they do it. But Prabhupada is clarifying, the pure devotee, when he's in need of anything, he prays only to the Supreme Lord. Anything. Wealth or distress or anything, he just goes to Krishna. He doesn't want to think about anybody else. And then later on, next line, Prabhupada says, asking for material benefit, however, is not a sign of pure devotee. We say, even material desires, we can go to Krishna. That's okay. No, that's what pure devotee does. But if you are asking material desires from Krishna, Prabhupada is saying you are not a pure devotee. So then last paragraph we can read. For the living entity
who desires
desires to return to God, Godhead, material desires are impediments. A pure devotee of the Lord is therefore not awarded the material benefits desired by less intelligent living entities, who therefore prefer to worship demigods of the material world rather than engage in the devotional service of the Supreme Lord.
So very important. Prabhupada is talking about, you know, Krishna's Krishna's, you know, action towards his devotees. Pure devotee of the Lord is therefore not awarded the material benefits. So, you know, this this reminds us of this very nice, I was telling about this point, right? Very nice exchange. Parikshit Maharaj, he asked question to Sukadeva Goswami. I think I mentioned this earlier. He asked question to Sukadeva Goswami. Devotees of Shiva, Shiva is a renunciate. Right, he is some smashana vairagya person. He doesn't wear proper clothes. He's all, you know, some, what is that?
Ash.
He's ash all over the body, and his wife doesn't have a house, you know, like that. They're sleeping under the tree and things like that. But then his devotees are richer and richer. And whereas, you know, Vishnu is husband of goddess of fortune. Goddess of fortune means Lakshmi Devi. You know, she has all the wealth. And devotees of Vishnu become poorer and poorer. So Parikshit Maharaj is asking this question, you know, I'm bewildered by this, you know, can you please clarify this? Very nice question, right? Very nice observation. So then Sukadeva Goswami says, okay, actually, after the Rajasuya Yajna, when Pandavas did Rajasuya Yajna, Yudhishthira Maharaj asked this question to Keshava, Krishna. So I will reply what Krishna replied. I will say what Krishna replied. Because, you know, directly Krishna can tell what he is doing, right? Why he is doing what he is doing. So this verse is quoted. I know it first two lines. Yasyaham anugrahnani. I think once, first line only. It's a very nice verse. We should buy. I heard this verse. It's a very nice verse. 10.88.8 verse. 10th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.88.8. This verse is Yasyaham anugrahnani. Krishna says, to whom I give special favor, I take away everything from him. Such a way that he doesn't have any other resort. Like, you know, like all his friends and relatives abandon him. He doesn't have any other resort but to surrender to me. He says. You know, that he gets... nobody gives him any shelter, any mercy. That, you know, he doesn't have any other resort but to surrender to me. So this... I'm reading Leelamrita. So luckily we come to that phase now. So then Prabhupada is saying in the first book is Lifetime in Preparation. So his Guru Maharaj, first time only when he met, if you remember, right, he gave him instruction to start preaching in English language. But then he was a grihastha at that time, and slowly, you know, then he got slowly after some time, he felt always, you know, his obligation towards his family. I should, you know, take care of my wife and kids, all those things. Then he said, oh, I have business, I have to, you know, and always he was investing a lot of effort in growing his business, becoming, because horoscope when he was born, they told that he is going to become very wealthy. So he felt, okay, I'm going to become wealthy through my business and I'm going to support my Guru Maharaj through my money. He felt that's his service. You know, that's also another. I felt, you know, Prabhupada also felt he didn't know what's the proper way to serve his spiritual master. And later, last, just 2 weeks before his spiritual master passed away, he asked him actually. That's a good thing he did. He asked him, of course, you know, he knew it, but, you know, as he's setting an example for us, he asked him, you know, how am I supposed to serve you? Then he reiterated the instruction that you can become a very good English preacher. Become English preacher and teach in English language. Then that he continued after he passed away. But before that time, he always felt he invested in his business. So much he tried actually, you know. Usually we feel sincere effort wherever we put, the results should come, right? He invested so much effort, but always it was failing. So many times it's some politics happens, you know, even the person in charge, the in charge's son becomes envious of Prabhupada and he spoils his game, and so many plots happen. So Prabhupada always felt he's actually, whatever he does spiritually actually was succeeding. Like he wants to help his god brothers, he wants to get them an apartment, those things immediately succeeds. But whatever he does materially, it was failing.
Babu
So then he was doubtful, you know, why this is happening. When he heard this verse, he felt, is this what is happening with me? Is this what Krishna dealing with me? So then he discussed with some god brothers and discussed this point. Then he said, yeah, seems like that's what is happening in your life. That Krishna is taking away everything from you so that you completely surrender to him. So that's what eventually he gave up, and he became sannyas and then gave up completely. And then after that, Krishna gave all the wealth. You know that... But Krishna says, those who I specially favor. So we may not be so qualified to get that special favor from Krishna, but if we get it, then that's wonderful, you know, because our life is set. Krishna will make sure we will not forget. So, okay, so we'll go to the next verse, text number 23.
Yeah.
So what are the results of worshipping demigods? Antavantu phalam tesham tad bhavati alpamedasham devan devayajo yanti madbhakta yanti mamati. Men of small intelligence worship the demigods. See, here is talking small intelligence, alpamedasham. And their fruits are limited and temporary. Those who worship the demigods go to the planets of the demigods, but my devotees ultimately reach my supreme planet. So it's very clear, right? So Krishna is saying, you know, they are of small intelligence and their fruits are limited and temporary because they are within the material purview. So whatever they give, it's going to be within the material purview. So it's going to get exhausted. And what happens to people who worship demigods? They go to demigods planets. But whereas devotees who worship Krishna, they go to supreme planet Krishna. So why Krishna is clarifying this is, general notion is, some people say demigods are parts of Krishna. Okay, so if I worship, they're part of Krishna. So if I worship them, maybe I can go to Krishna, right? So even though I worship Shiva whole life, maybe I'll go to Goloka. So that's general misconception people have. So Krishna is clarifying that doesn't happen. So whomever you worship, meditate the whole life, that's where you'll go at the end of life. Krishna says, Antakale cha mame, yamyam vapi smaran bhavam tyajati ante kalaivaram. It's 8.5 or something, 4 or 5. Says whom, whatever consciousness you remember at the moment of death, that's what you'll attain in the next life. You keep thinking about swimming whole life, then you'll become a fish. You keep thinking about, you know,
sleeping,
then you'll, what you'll become? Kids, no.
Bear.
So we'll become many kids. Somebody used to say all the time. Some small kid. Who?
Tarani
says, Amma, I don't want to sleep, I will become bear otherwise. So, he, you know, they also know all this concept. So if we whole life meditate on worshipping Shiva or, you know, demigods, then we'll naturally go to demigod planet. So it's very natural, right? There should not be any surprise about this. Yeah, so we'll read the last paragraph.
The results achieved by the demigods' benedictions are perishable because within the material world, the planets, the demigods and their worshippers are perishable. Therefore, it is clearly stated in this verse that all the results achieved by worshipping demigods are perishable, and therefore such worship is performed by the less intelligent living entity.
Mm.
Because the pure devotee engaged in Krishna consciousness is devotional service of the Supreme Lord, achieves eternal blissful existence that is full of knowledge. His achievement and those of common worshipper of the demigods are different. The Supreme Lord is unlimited, his favor is unlimited, his mercy is unlimited. Therefore, the mercy of the Supreme Lord upon his pure devotees is unlimited.
Wonderful. Last three lines, so nice. So, main thing is, why Krishna is calling them less intelligent is because they are aiming after temporary things. Knowing that it's going to exhaust, still they want that. So that means it's less intelligent. No, but whereas pure devotees, they worship Krishna and they want the eternal existence. They are getting the, you know, the eternal thing. So that's why they are most intelligent. That's why Prabhupada also says, people who take up Krishna consciousness, they are most intelligent. Because they are solving the real problems of life. Birth, death, old age and disease. Instead of getting something temporary and keep dealing with the same problems again and again. So whoever comes to Krishna consciousness is, or takes up seriously, they are most intelligent. That's why it says, right, what is that verse in Mahaja? Opposite to Alpa Medasha, this, right, Sumedasha, most intelligent, Sumedasha. Medasha is intelligence, Alpa Medasha is less intelligent, Sumedasha. Yajna Sankirtana Pranayar, that verse, it says that people who are most intelligent in this age of Kali take up Sankirtan movement. Last three lines, Krishna saying, Supreme Lord is unlimited, His favor is unlimited, His mercy is unlimited. Therefore, mercy of the Supreme Lord upon His pure devotee is unlimited. Okay, so next two verses, Krishna is going to talk about people who surrender to impersonalism, or you know, who worship, try to become impersonalist. So this is a different category. So we'll cover these two also. Then this section we get over. Text number 24. Avyaktam yaktimapannam manyante mama buddhaya parambhavam jananto mama avyayam anuttamam. Unintelligent men who do not know me perfectly think that I, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, was impersonal before and have now assumed this personality. Due to their small knowledge, they do not know my higher nature, which is imperishable and supreme. So here he is talking about people who want to become impersonalists, or who consider Krishna to be impersonal, and he is declaring them as unintelligent. So at least people who worship demigods, he says less intelligent. They have some intelligence. But here he is saying they are unintelligent, because you know, it's completely they are offensive to the Lord. They are saying Lord is impersonal. Yeah. Krishna is impersonal. They are abuddhaya. Abuddhaya means no intelligence at all. They are demigod worshippers are alpamedasha, less intelligent. So what they think is Krishna, or rather absolute truth, is impersonal, and Krishna, like anybody of us, has taken a material form. Like how we take a material body, like that Krishna also has taken a material body. That's what they think. Because they do not know His nature, which is imperishable and supreme. He is imperishable. Even though He comes in this material world, He comes in His self same transcendental body. Right? Not like He doesn't take body like us. Like you know, made of earth, water, air and fire and ether. So, so we'll read the third paragraph. The fact is that I didn't say the paragraph. Maybe next paragraph.
The fact is that no one can understand Krishna without rendering devotional service and without developing Krishna consciousness. The Bhagavatam confirms
this.
Yeah. My Lord, if one is favored by even a slight trace of the mercy of your lotus feet, he can understand the greatness of your personality. But those who speculate to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead are unable to know you, even though they continue to study the Vedas for many years. One cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, or His form, quality or name, simply by mental speculation or by discussing Vedic literature. One must understand Him by devotional service. When one is fully engaged in Krishna consciousness, beginning by chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, then only can one understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Non-devotee impersonalists think that Krishna has a body made of this material nature, and that all His activities, His form and everything are Maya. These impersonalists are known as Mayavadis. They do not know the ultimate truth.
Yeah, we can pause there, Prabhu. So, so here Prabhupada is saying, you know, why people conclude that Krishna, God, is impersonal, because they don't have a proper way to understand the truth. So either they speculate, or they, you know, they try to do their own, you know, way to understand themselves, right? That's why Prabhupada is clarifying here. Only way to understand Krishna is? What's the only way to understand Krishna? Is through devotional service. Some verses we read it, Bhaktya Mama Bijanati, right? That verse we read, right, in Bhagavad Gita. You know, we always say it, 18 point somewhere, you know, we can look it up. Only by undivided, devotional service can I be known as I am. So in order to, even we, right, we may think, oh, I understand Krishna to some extent, but we don't know fully. So only when we do unalloyed devotional service to Krishna, Krishna will reveal Himself in truth. Like for example, we hear so many times, Krishna and Krishna's name are non-different. But we don't have the realization because we are not doing that unalloyed devotional service. When we do the devotional service unalloyed, then Krishna will reveal his form. When Krishna, when we chant his name, we feel Krishna is dancing in our, on our tongues. Rupa Goswami says, you know, these 2 years are not enough. I wish I have thousands of years. I wish I have thousands of tongues, you know, to chant Krishna's name. No, so only by devotional service can Krishna be understood as him. Otherwise, we can go into this wrong path of thinking, you know, Krishna is impersonal, his body is made of material, all those things.
Krishna
doesn't reveal himself in only one form. It is
like Sankunda form, Madhava, Hari form. So he has so many different forms. So again, it depends upon the devotee
how he wants to see Krishna reveals
himself in that form. Right, correct. Yes. Yeah. So what's his original form then? Is the original Krishna seen only through the devotee's eyes? Like how the devotee wants to see, that's the form actually.
No, Krishna has unlimited forms, right? All these forms are eternal, like, you know. There's so many Vaikuntha planets and there's so many Narayana forms, right? But Krishna in the original Krishna is Shyam Sundar Krishna. In Goloka Vrindavan, Shyam Sundar Krishna is blackish. Bluish black. Yeah, that's the original Krishna. And these forms, I'm talking about the deities in the temples. You know, this they're attracted to a particular deity form of the temple, like, you know. I don't know whether
that form, as we discussed earlier, like we are attached to like some form which appeals to us so much.
Yeah.
So we want to like, so when Krishna
reveals himself, yeah, he may reveal in that form only because we are so attracted to see him in that way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So continuing, I think we can. Yeah, that's enough for this purport. So the point is, you know, luckily, you know, we have come and we have gone, we are starting to begin to do devotional service. So we don't have to come into this pitfall of thinking Krishna is material. We don't even attempt to do that. So we'll come, so the next verse says, if Krishna has a form and abode and characteristics, everything is eternal, then why can't he be seen by everybody? Like when Krishna came, right, did everybody was able to see Krishna? So why was he not be able to see? That's the next verse says. You know, why he wasn't covered by certain people. Now what's the reason why certain people are not able to see him? So next verse. Naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samavrita mudo ayam nabijanati loko mam ajam avyayam. I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them, I am covered by my internal potency. And therefore, they do not know that I am unborn and infallible. So Krishna is saying that he covers himself because of his internal potency so that they cannot know his true nature. So Krishna, because they are approaching Krishna in such that way, Krishna also reciprocates that way. Imagine, this is also love. They want to see Krishna as impersonal. They want to see Krishna as, you know, that he is not there as atheistic. Krishna is making them believe like that. So as we approach the verse we have discussed, right? Yayatamam prapadyante. As we approach Krishna, Krishna reveals accordingly or he reciprocates accordingly. If we want to approach Krishna to love him, then obviously, you know, we are approaching personal form. So Krishna reveals his personal attributes. But if we want to approach Krishna to deny him, defy him, you know, to declare that he is not there, then Krishna will make sure that he will give all proofs. Like, for that reason actually, when Krishna left the world, you know, he left his body behind. So people, atheistic people will think, oh, you know, he is like one of us. He has a material body. See, his body we can see. No, see? So he gives that clues for people that, like that, to create their own theory and believe that theory. So that they can, you know, that's what their desire is. Krishna is fulfilling that desire. Okay, so we'll read the first paragraph.
Can I read?
Yeah, please.
Argued that since Krishna was visible to everyone when he was present on this earth, then how can it be said that he was not manifest to everyone? But actually he was...
Oh, once again, why is it so different translation? I have so much different.
Okay.
Everybody has the same as what she has?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, I think something wrong. Mine is older than that. Okay.
But actually, he was not manifest to everyone. When Krishna was present, there was only a few people who could understand him to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the assembly of
Kurus,
when Shishupal spoke against Krishna's being elected president of the assembly, Bhishma supported him and proclaimed him to be the supreme god. Similarly, the Pandavas and a few others knew that he was the supreme, but not everyone. He was not revealed to the non-devotees and the common men. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that but for his pure devotees, all men consider him to be like themselves. He was manifest only to his devotees as the reservoir of all pleasure, but to others, uninintelligent non-devotees, he was covered by his
potency.
Eternal potency.
Yeah, you can pause there. So even when Krishna was present, physically present, not everybody was able to see him as Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like Duryodhana and Arjuna, right? Duryodhana could not see him. I was reading Mahabharata for kids, you know, there the discussion. Somebody comes and Bhishma only tells, you know, Krishna is not an ordinary person, he's Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why don't you surrender to him? Then he thought for a while and it's like, you know, oh, maybe so many things are happening because of him. Maybe he's Supreme Personality. Okay, let me at least bow down. You know, maybe he is like that. You know, he at least, you know, Prabhu was showing that day. You know, he is really bowing down. Oh, perhaps there is some truth in that. Let me bow down at least. I'll get some credit. That's what he did. That's with that mood he did. Now, so much is covered basically. You know, Krishna covered him that he cannot see him. His true nature. So, because of his internal potency.
So, Mataji, how is your translation is different from ours?
Yeah.
Isn't it Prabhupada's?
Yeah, it's Prabhupada's only, but the first version, it is said that the Prabhupada dictated the trans commentary in the phone, and then devotees typed it and edited and put it. So I think there were some mistakes in hearing his sound or things like that, or something like that, that there was some discrepancy there. So that's why they created a next version and they wrote in the
preface
that, you know, this is more authentic to what the Prabhupada wanted to do, like that. You know, for example, this is actually mine is much better version. The first version, very very first version, it said, for example, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, it's translated as the Blessed Lord said. That doesn't even say that he is Supreme Lord, actually, you know. And everybody is a Blessed Lord, you know, right, like that. No, it was not really conveying what he intends to convey. I don't know why. These things maybe he didn't dictate on the phone. No, how it happened, I'm not sure.
Can you read first two lines for this one?
Like, okay.
It may be
it's similar lines. Meaning, but it's different. It may be argued that since Krishna was present on this earth and was visible to everyone, then why isn't he manifest to everyone now? But actually, he was not manifest to everyone. Okay, actually, there's a phrase, there's a mistake here. It says, why isn't he manifest to everyone now? So that is not related to Krishna being present then. So it's a little confusing. So I think they clarified it. They clarified it. Okay. So, yeah, that's what it is, you know. Like Krishna is covered by his internal potency. And that's why Krishna, devotees cannot. But you know, other fact, even pure devotees, Krishna covers himself. Right? Wow. How are devotees also covered from Krishna?
Because he wants to interact with them. If he shows this true form, then there's no way we can interact.
See, for example, Yashoda Mata is covered by Yoga Maya, so she cannot see Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, so that she can treat him as a child and chastise him. So devotees are also covered. Same Yoga Maya is covering impersonalists and Mayavadis to see Krishna as a material person, or you know, as a impersonal. But same Yoga Maya covers pure devotees so that they can see him as ordinary person, but this increases their love. love for Krishna, but that takes him away from Krishna. So it's the same yoga maya acting in both ways. There is one verse in, this is a verse in Isopanishad. The person says, "Oh my Lord," I'm reading the translation after the verse. "Oh my Lord, you are the maintainer of the entire universe and devotional service to you is the highest religious principle. Therefore, I pray that you will also maintain me. Your transcendental form is covered by the yoga maya. The Brahma Jyoti is covering the internal potency, is the covering of the internal potency. May you kindly remove this glowing effulgence that impedes my seeing your Satchidananda Vigraha, your eternal form of bliss and knowledge." So what he is saying is, see, Brahma Jyoti is actually effulgence from the Lord, right? Everybody knows this? So it's a bodily effulgence, that's why it's bluish also. The sky is bluish because of Krishna's color. Krishna is bluish. So devotee is saying, when I see you, this glaring effulgence, I cannot bear it. You know, it's, you know, when the sun effulgence, you cannot see the sun, right? When it's too bright. So this effulgence is not able to make me see your form. So can you please remove your effulgence so I can see your transcendental form? So he's saying, remove this yoga maya curtain. No, remove this Brahma Jyoti so I can see your real form. So that's the prayer in Isopanishad. So, but actually we are, no, what is our state? Why are we not able to see Krishna as Supreme Lord? Because we are covered by maya. Not even yoga maya. So, no, we are also thinking Krishna is an ordinary person, but we are covered by maya but we are not like pure devotees, you know, where we see Krishna as an ordinary person. Yeah, same thing, you know, impersonally Krishna covers, right? Because we are also covered to a certain extent. We don't see Krishna's Supreme Personality of Godhead because we are covered by illusory potence. Yeah, I think that's all we have today. Any questions or comments? So what is the take home today?
I was thinking about playing demigods, like in the Mahabharata Yuddha war, Krishna had asked Arjuna few times, point to where exactly, but to worship Durga for some astra and all. Lord Shiva also had given something.
Yeah.
Somehow he had directed So that he can serve Krishna, like getting the help from those
characters, right?
So that is some way our approach should be.
Yes,
right?
Yes, correct. To service to Krishna.
If I am going to worship Ma Saraswati, so I'll ask her to give that intelligence so that I can proceed.
Like, for example, give memory, I can run verses and things like that. Yeah, that's also good. But those things directly we can worship Krishna also, but if you have inclination, we can do it certainly. Like, for example, I can tell one incident. Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Prabhupada's disciple, right? He in some temple, Ram's temple, he was praying to praying intensely to the deities. Then somebody asked him, you know, why you are Krishna Bhaktas? ISKCON is Krishna Bhakta, why are you praying to Lord Ram? You see, he or yeah, then he said, I'm praying to during Prabhupada time, I'm praying to Lord's weapons to give me the strength to fight, you know, to protect Prabhupada or something like that. I don't know the last phrase, but he was saying, I'm praying to Lord's weapons to give me the strength, because they have the ability to give the blessings, like that. So whatever, but it's all meant for serving Krishna and, you know, pure devotional path, then it's fine. Like Shiva also greatest Vaishnava, you know, Shivaratri, many devotees, they perform fasting till noon. Like, you know, our acharyas, we do fasting till noon, the devotees do. And whole night they can do kirtan and things like that, you know, to celebrate this. Because he's the greatest Vaishnava, he will take us to Vishnu. Okay. Any questions or comments? Anyone?
What do you mean by will take us to Vishnu? I heard this before also, like Shiva is one of the person who is a gatekeeper or but then you told earlier, like just now we covered that whoever prays demigod or Shiva, for example, will go to him, right? Then how is that Shiva?
Yeah, basically if you pray to Shiva saying, you know, like he's the greatest Vaishnava, he's the greatest devotee. So if we honor him like a devotee of Vishnu. Say for example, you know, if we have sannyasis or guru, right, we worship him as representative of Vishnu, right? So if we honor them equal, or rather, you know, as give the position of representative of Vishnu. So like that, devotion we can get only through mercy of devotees. So we know Shiva, he has the greatest devotion to Krishna, so give us mercy. And also he's a guardian of the Dham, as you mentioned. So to enter Vrindavan, we need, there are five personalities who guard the dham. Yogamaya and Shiva and Vrindulsi Maharani and Yamuna, and another one is Purnamasi. Purnamasi is in charge of Krishna's pastimes. She is a choreographer of Krishna's pastimes. So these are the five personalities who guard the dham. So that scrupulous, or rather I always get confused with the word. So okay, basically people who are not qualified cannot enter the dham and disturb the Lord. So if you want to enter Vrindavan in a right spirit, not sightseeing, or you know, even if we enter, we cannot see, right? The real vision is through hearing. So when we see, it said Krishna is still there in Vrindavan, but we cannot see. So to enter that, we pray to Shiva and pray to Purnamasi, pray to, you know, please allow me to enter Vrindavan dham. He wanted to enter Rasalila once. Then Krishna said, you know, he cannot come. We just be at the entrance and guard people from coming, people who are not qualified from entering into the Rasalila. That's the service Krishna gave Shiva. Okay, so we'll stop here. Tell kids that it's done.
Yeah.
No, otherwise they think we are not getting up, means they think they are still waiting. Right? Okay, so we'll continue.
So ultimately, like whatever yajna we do, the ultimate beneficiary is Vishnu. So like that's how, like whatever worship we do, so definitely the ultimate, like it also always goes to Lord Vishnu.
Yeah.
So then why again there's like, it sounds kind of contradictory, like when we did this, like worshipping demigods is definitely not the way to go. Like how they have to go together basically. I have this one.
So question is, why should we have any yajnas for Vishnu, yajnas for demigods?
Previous worship we have read, any type of yajna you do, the ultimately ultimate beneficiary is Vishnu. So
you
can say like Vishnu, like Lord Shiva.
He is actually the supreme enjoyer.
He only
gets
the fruit or whatever you
say.
He
is the ultimate enjoyer of sacrifices.
So now that he is saying again, like if you worship some demigods, you are going to their planet, you are not coming to me.
Yeah.
So we are kind of instrument, we are getting like tossed between here and there.
No, basically he is the ultimate enjoyer, he is saying, but at the same time, because our mood is not to serve Vishnu or Krishna, but our mood is to serve that particular demigod. Right? Ultimately, he is enjoying, but we don't know. We don't want him.
Less intelligence is what is killing.
Yeah, we don't want him to enjoy. We want this particular demigod to enjoy because we want this particular benefit from him. Right? So our focus is all about the demigod. We are not even thinking about Krishna, whether he is getting or not getting, whether he is giving or not giving. So then he says, because you are meditating so much on this particular demigod, your consciousness will be absorbed in that. So at the end, you will be... I will be happy to give you the position to be with the demigod because you want that association with the demigod. Yeah. So whatever we absorb ourselves, that's what we are going to attain. The whole life we meditate on Krishna, then we'll attain Krishna. Okay, one example. Okay, I think they're coming. It's okay. That's fine. We'll stop here. Sorry, Madhu. You were saying something? Shobha Madhu? You were saying something? No. Okay. We'll stop.
You were asking what is take home?
Yeah.
I thought you were giving some instructions for us.
No, I was giving example for that. That's okay. No, we already shared whatever we have in the class, so you should now tell.
Don't
what
worship
is
demigods. That's the thing.
Worship demigods in a proper way.
Yeah,
we should not even offend them, then it's not good for us. Okay, we'll stop here. Hare Krishna. Yeah.